See, now we don't have much time, but can you talk about what has just taken place, United States bombing Libya?
Well, certainly hearing all of the news about the Khans and their extraordinary story, we're reminded of the price that is paid in this country for the continuing wars, the global war on terror, as George Bush used to call it. President Obama wants to call it something else, but it's the same war. This is a significant escalation. The airstrikes in Libya were aimed at the ISIS forces that remain in the city of Sirte. But the city of Sirte is a city of now about 80,000 people. We've had no reports of who else might have been injured or killed in those strikes, what's happened to the civilian population. It's as if there's no one there but the few hundred ISIS fighters that the U.S. Says are there. Libya has been in chaos since the U.S.-NATO attack, the regime change attack in 2011 that led to the ouster and then the killing of Muammar Gaddafi and the overthrow of his regime. There has been absolute military chaos. The weapons of the Gaddafi regime have spread throughout the region, making all of the situations there much, much worse. And one of the things that we're seeing is that this kind of attack on territory controlled by ISIS simply does not destroy ISIS. You can't destroy terrorism that way. What it does in some circumstances, it might limit the number the number of people that remain under ISIS control, which is by itself a good thing. But you can't take that out of the context that what that really means is you're playing a kind of global whack-a-mole where you stamp out ISIS in one place and it pops up somewhere else. You take away territory they control, and they reemerge as a more traditional terrorist operation, attacking people whether in Brussels or in Nice or in Baghdad or in Kabul or somewhere else. So there are numerous problems with this. One of the key ones is that this action was taken without authorization. President Obama made the decision a few days ago to authorize these military strikes without any authorization from Congress. Congress has refused to debate and discuss the possibility of a new authorization. And the Obama administration maintains its position that while it would like a new authorization specific to ISIS, it doesn't believe it needs one. And it therefore continues to rely on the 2001 authorization, which called for military force to be used against the forces who had carried out the attacks of September 11. Now, ISIS, as we know, did not even exist until 5 years later. ISIS had no connection to the attacks of 9/11. So the notion that this authorization now applies in Libya, we heard the same story about the rationale for the Obama administration to take up bombing in Syria, to renew the U.S. force involvement in Iraq, in Yemen, supporting the Saudi government. In all of these arenas, the administration continues to rely on an outdated, not appropriate authorization, which does not, in fact, authorize the escalation that they are now calling for.
But Phyllis,
so this is a very serious problem.
Phyllis, if I can, under what authorization does the Obama administration even launch these attacks, since there are basically three competing governments claiming to be running Libya?
You know, Juan, one of the things they're saying is that this attack was in response to the request of the UN-backed government. Now, as you say, there are three competing governments. One of them was essentially created by the United Nations negotiators to try and pull together all the forces. It hasn't worked. It's one of three that are competing for legitimacy, competing for military and political power. So the U.S. has gone in on the side of that government. What's interesting is they have not even made the claim that there was an immediate threat to the United States or to American citizens. That could be used to justify an immediate presidential order. They have not tried to say, because certainly that isn't the case, there is no threat to the United States coming out of the chaos
Phyllis,
in Libya.
Phyllis, very quickly, in October of 2011, then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was between interviews when she was told that Muammar Gaddafi had been killed. This was her response.
Yes, we came, we saw, he died.
Did it have anything to do with your visit?
No, I'm sure it did.
That was Hillary Clinton in 2011. Your final response,
whatever
Phyllis.
Else, this was not a joke. It was not a joke for the thousands of people who have died in Libya. It was not a joke for anyone. The situation in Libya is far worse now than it was. Hillary Clinton, of course, as Secretary of State then, was the leading voice urging President Obama to participate. And this kind of escalation is only going to make the situation worse. There is no military response to terrorism. President Obama says that over and over again. It's time we held him accountable to his own words, to say there is no military response. Therefore, we shouldn't use military methods against terrorism. It doesn't work.
Phyllis Bennis, thanks so much for being with us, fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Sam Alkoff, Laura Gottesdiener, Carla Wills, Noreen Sheikh. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
The Animal Protection Institute offers easy safety tips for avoiding deer collisions. On roads bordering fields or natural habitat, always watch for wildlife, especially at dawn and dusk. Continually look from road to roadside, checking for movement. Reduce speed in areas where deer are most likely to cross the road. If you see one deer, expect more to follow. And if a deer freezes in your headlights, turn them off and then back on again. For more tips and information about living with wildlife, call the Animal Protection Institute at 1-800-348-7387 or visit api4animals.org. Give deer a break. Drive safe.
Water heaters set at too high a temperature. Bath water not checked for the temperature before entry. Boiling water left unattended on the stove. These are all burn dangers to children. Kiwanis Clubs work with safety programs, children's hospitals, and pediatric trauma programs to prevent children's injuries and make sure kids get the best possible treatment when they do get hurt. To learn how to avoid burns and protect your child from other preventable injuries, visit our website at servingchildren.org. Kiwanis International, serving the children of the world.
Yes, serving all of those children of the world. What a lovely, lovely announcement there. Thank you, Amy Goodman, as well, for Democracy Now! You are listening to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 on the frequency modulation band, also streaming live, somewhat live, maybe slightly delayed, but altogether there for your eardrums at WUSB.fm. You can also find program announcements, ways to donate, playlists, and other information about the station and our activities. Support community radio. It's now 6:04, and that means it's time for Off the Wall. Thank you. Yes, welcome everyone. You are listening to Off the Wall. I am Kyle, running all kinds of buttons, and I'm joined by Emmanuel, who's right there. He's right here. It's a little to the left.
I'm over here, but you know, look at the levels. Look at when you talk, and look when I talk.
Can you...
There, that's better. Hear me? I don't think you were loud enough. I don't think anyone heard anything you just said.
What I was saying is that you're right there, and everyone, you're listening to Off the Wall. I'm running buttons, and you're hosting this fantastic show on our lovely community radio station here at Stony Brook University.
That's right.
And good Tuesday evening, afternoon.
It's officially evening. 6 p.m. is when evening begins. So we're in the evening hours. People are driving home from jobs they hate. But, you know, unlike the people in Jersey, when you drive home from the city, you don't have the sun in your eyes. Think about that. So, you know, we do have some blessings to count. It doesn't take us long to count them, but we can count those because the people in Jersey, not only do they have the sun in their eyes when they're driving home, they have the sun in their eyes when they're driving into the city as well because the sun comes up in the east. Actually, that's not true. The sun doesn't come up in the east. The planet you know what? This isn't the astronomy program. We don't have an astronomy program. Why don't we have an astronomy program? This is a school, after all. This is a university. We have a great astronomy department. We have a big telescope, in fact, on top of the Earth and Space Science Building. And I looked through that telescope once in my freshman year here at Stony Brook when I took astronomy. And I was just so thrilled that I could actually look through a telescope rather than just sit in the classroom and see numbers on a blackboard. Because that was something that really bothered me. When I took Astronomy 101, I wanted to look through the telescope and not just simply look at numbers. And I find that's what the problem is with a lot of science these days, is that people just focus on what's on blackboards instead of what's actually going on in the universe, the unparalleled universe, which... it's just simply an amazing spectacle to behold. But I digress. I'm done digressing. Kyle, you can come back and sit down again. I'm sorry. I got on a tangent there, and I couldn't stop. That's what happens. That's what happens when you give me a microphone. I just will continue to talk. I'm like one of those people that, you know, doesn't shut up on the subway. You know, just keeps babbling on and on, going from car to car. And people send them on their on their way to some other car, and then they get on a different train. I had the same guy asking for money on two separate trains that I took on the same day. I mean, that's kind of weird when you think about it. What are the odds? You know, in New York City, you don't run into the same people over and over again. You tend to see different people. There are some cities, though, where you do start to recognize people after a day or two. And that's something that baffles me. I digressed again. I'm sorry. I don't know what it is.
Well, and this is the place for just that. We talk about all kinds of things, stories, unconventional issues.
Oh, conventions. Okay, you want to talk about the conventions?
Well, you'd have a thing or two to say about some of the convention going and what became of all of that.
Well, you know, I don't know if I have much to say. But yeah, I watched every minute of both conventions. I did. I was curious what would happen. And I was amazed at what happened and what didn't happen. And these are historic times, after all. And we need to pay attention. If we don't pay attention, then we'll have the wool pulled over our eyes. And then we'll ask, what's that all about? And we won't know because we weren't paying attention.
And I've also been paying attention, and I'd be happy to speak to any of the crazy issues that have been brought up, both at the conventions and around the convention. One thing that I think was not talked about was protests around the conventions.
You're right.
It really was brushed aside, and there was a lot of opposition. The one place where we were seeing a little bit of it is this... well, I guess they're not Bernie bros, but they're the Bernie supporters where they're rejecting everything. They don't even want to they won't accept what Bernie has to say.
It's Bernie or bust.
About unity. And I don't know. I think you're missing what the political process is about. You don't always get to have the lead. You sometimes have to give a little bit. Whether it's a party, whether it's an issue, legislation, that kind of thing.
It's about numbers, yeah, and politics too. But it's also about numbers. And, you know, I'll admit it, I'm a Bernie person. I thought Bernie had great things to say, raised a lot of issues, and we went to a Bernie rally in Seattle.
Yeah, we did. I totally went and enjoyed it. We did a little bit of recording.
And we went to the Bernie, the Bernie caucus. We went to the Democratic caucus, which turned into a Bernie caucus because everybody was for Bernie. And I was amazed by that. But we brought up the issue at the end of the caucus and the issue that nobody seemed to think would be a big deal. But and that was, will there be people that if Bernie isn't the nominee, they won't support Hillary? And, you know, back then people dismissed that, saying, no, that can't happen. That's not going to be the case. And now we're seeing that there are people. I don't know how many people there are like that, what percentage it actually involves, but it's something that people are focusing on, and I think it points to a bigger problem with activists, with people who are on the cusp of social change. They don't see the bigger picture. They don't see what has been accomplished. They only see that they're not getting what they want right now, and if they can't get what they want right now, they're just going to disrupt everything. And what I don't think they realize by doing that is they alienate all the people they just won over.
Yes.
You know, I'm rolling my eyes and throwing things at the television set because these people are shouting during Elizabeth Warren's speech, you know, and I want to hear what she has to say. She's saying some amazing things. You know, to say that Bernie sold out Bernie is so ridiculous. It's comical. Of course, these people have no sense of humor, so you can't tell them that. But basically, you're saying you're more with Bernie than Bernie is with Bernie. You know, that is what you are literally saying. And that's just dumb. I'm sorry. It's stupid. No matter what you do, if you add up the numbers, Hillary has more. I don't like that fact. I wish Bernie had more, but it doesn't add up. You know, take away all the superdelegates. Just rely on the popular vote count. She still has more. All right? But here's what we do have. We've got something that we couldn't have had 8 years ago, even 4 years ago. We're having conversations in the mainstream that were unheard of in the recent past. Bernie has brought so many things to the forefront. And you have to be a real cynic. And I know there's no shortage of cynics, but you have to be a real cynic to believe that's not going to be addressed at all in a Clinton administration, that she's just going to completely ignore all of that and piss off all those people that Bernie woke up. I think it's going to have influence. I think people like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders will be a part of this new administration, and I think we're all the better for that. But, you know, if we're just going to be angry all the time and disruptive and saying, oh, Hillary's just as bad as Trump, I've actually seen people say that. I got one piece of email from some idiot. It's probably a friend of mine, too, but I'm sorry. If you're going to be an idiot, I'm going to call you an idiot, saying that, Hillary started all these wars, which, you know, she didn't start the wars. Maybe she didn't approach conflicts in the world the way that a lot of us would have preferred. But, you know, George W. Bush started wars, okay? Obama did not start wars, and Hillary certainly did not start wars. But, you know, she has been hawkish, yes, definitely. She has been a bit of a hawk in some areas. But to say that because she was with an administration that bombed villages with drones and things like that, and Donald Trump was not. Well, we know what Hillary can do, so let's see what the opposition is like. That is the dumbest thing in the world. Do you honestly think for one second that Donald Trump would not nuke a place he didn't like? It's just it's idiocy of a sort that I didn't even think was possible. But there are actually leftists out there saying, yeah, we're better off with Trump because we hate Hillary so much. That is just so self-defeating and stupid. And I hope people wake up and realize that, yeah, it's not what we want, but it's not as bad as what we could get if we're not careful. And most definitely, it could happen. It really could happen. We could have a President Trump. Think about that.
Yeah, I am really proud of the process, though. I think the kinds of things that have been talked about platform-wise as well as organizationally, like how the politics have played out, what the media has, our own like sort of critique of ourselves covering it and really looking at what we're talking about and where the discussion has gone, whether it's partisan or between people, fighting or insults, that kind of rhetoric, interpersonal stuff. But I think it's more or less evolved and become something that has grown and not been something that we haven't learned a lot of valuable things from, as far as like what to take away. And like the DNC, as far as like the leaks and stuff I was seeing, is probably going to be looking at how they are structured. Mm-hmm. and some of these I think news outlets, the way they arrange pundits, I mean, we're gonna look back at that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna take, I mean, definitely be have some clarity about the way those powerful structures represent interests. I mean, you know, even like the coal advertising and stuff like that, you see, just it's there, and you can tell it's a big part of the PACs and the structures and machinations of political advertising and so on. And definitely PACs and our understanding of lobbying and how that works has definitely become something that we don't, that doesn't like brush aside. I think mm-hmm. we definitely have a really clear understanding of its impact, and that we do have a messed up system.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
It's still a system that we have, though, and we kind of have to work with it while it's being transformed, because it's not at all immune from transformation, but we really do have to work with it now. And I think that's where unity and just appreciating how much, as you said, has been brought in as worthy of discussion.
Well, I mean, I think the leaks...
Sorry, I was losing my train of thought there a little bit.
That's okay. You got the train back on the track. But Julian released the DNC emails.
Yes.
At that point in time, deliberately. We knew he was going to do something. We didn't know exactly what. But,
but
I think it's great that they got released then, because it showed the corruption in their particular organization.
Yes.
But it also it forced people to deal with it, forced people to confront it head on. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz is out, as she should be. Should have been a long time ago. It showed Bernie to be completely right about how the system is corrupt.
That's
and,
the takeaway.
And slanted. But at the same time, he's grown up enough to realize that, yeah, that is the system we have. It needs to be fixed. But right now, we need to keep a fascist from taking control.
It's a little embarrassing how much he had to walk his own supporters through that.
Mm-hmm.
That people can't really they really have to have it spelled out. That's why he is supporting, Hillary Clinton and all of that.
Yeah,
but that's part of it. You
uh-huh.
know, and you,
that
you,
is a
you
part
have
of it.
To right. understand, he goes back to work. That is his job.
I don't get what I don't want to focus on this too much, because I think they represent a small minority, but a very loud minority. But I don't know what they were expecting to have happen. They expecting, yeah, you had less votes. But we're going to say Bernie's our candidate, despite the fact that Hillary has more, and that we have a corrupt system. We know it's a corrupt system, okay? Everyone knows that now. Why don't we focus on what has been accomplished, on the dialogue that's now going on all the things that Bernie has accomplished through his amazing campaign, and take that into the future? Because in 4 years, I guarantee there's going to be something even better. Think about this. This campaign could not have existed only 4 years ago. Could not have had that conversation. Could not have had a candidate like this. A socialist. An avowed socialist running for president of the United States and practically getting the nomination. That is amazing. That is progress. And we can either continue down the road of progress or we can bicker and fight and be angry that we don't get everything we want right now. Clearly, we've gotten to a point that's historic. In fact, you know, just watching the two conventions, and I kind of alternated between the two. We weren't able to watch much because we had our own conference to worry about. But afterwards, it's great, you know, when paying off bills and things like that, to have this on in the background. I was blown away by the difference between the two. You can say the whole political system is corrupt. Yeah, fine, it is. I know, I get it. But it's corrupt in different ways, okay? And what I saw in the Democratic convention, as opposed to the Republican convention, it was astounding. You saw people in the DNC from so many different walks of life, so many diverse backgrounds, so many challenges to have been overcome, and they were all speaking quite sincerely, I thought, and being celebrated by the crowd in a very amazing way that, again, I don't think could have happened a mere 8 years ago, or certainly not 20 years ago. Then you would have seen, you know, back in 2000, when I made the decision that one side was the same as the other, I think it was a lot closer to that. You would look at the two conventions and see basically a bunch of white guys just saying the same thing over and over again. But here, you saw completely different things. RNC, yeah, you did see the same bunch of white guys, and occasionally they hired out a minority or two to say the same thing that the white guys were saying. But the DNC, you saw transgender people, you saw gay people, you saw every ethnicity represented, and just the empowerment of women alone was something astounding, something really emotional to witness. And just seeing that enthusiasm, that celebration, that to me was very inspirational and moving. So that is what we get. It's not just Hillary Clinton that gets elected to the White House. It's that whole atmosphere, that whole diverse group of people. And think about what that means 4 years from now, 8 years from now, 20 years from now. It's a road. It's progress. It's getting someplace. And, you know, to watch the Republicans, it was almost sad. I mean, it was funny, but it was really sad to see the fear-mongering and the hatred. And, yeah, you know, they can say, oh, we don't hate anybody, but it is hatred. It is hatred when you say that Mexicans are the problem and Muslims are the problem and gays are, you know, I'm not going to say gays are the problem, but they're going to say that we need to pass these laws to protect our religion or whatever.
Well, the gay agenda is the problem.
Yeah, all these politically correct, you know, nonsense they accuse the other side of. And then a simple phrase like Black Lives Matter drives them into a frenzy, you know, and they have to turn it around, turn it into, oh, Blue Lives Matter. You know, it's fascinating to study. It really is, just to see how they can twist things around. They will take a mass shooting, and if a Muslim were behind it, it turns into terrorism, so they can focus on that. I saw so many talks about the horrible thing that happened to Orlando, you know, to the gay club in Orlando, and that allows them to play to the gay audience, which they think they have some chance of winning over, which they sure as hell do not. And because it was, in their eyes, an act of terrorism, they can say, here's another example of how our people are being victimized by the evil Muslims. They won't touch Sandy Hook. They won't touch Virginia Tech because those were just mass shootings. Do you tell me the difference? I don't know what the difference is. If the mass shooter says, I'm with ISIS, or if the mass shooter says, I'm with the NRA, you know, it's the same basic thing being fired out of the guns and the same basic death toll. But they focus on those particular places and try to use those to be more more opening to diverse groups of people. And I don't think it works. I think it's really sad and pathetic for them to attempt to do this. Another thing that I thought, I just had to pinch myself watching this, but speakers are criticizing Hillary Clinton for celebrating the fall of Libya and saying we don't need more irresponsible wars. Well, meanwhile, turning a complete blind eye to what George W. Bush started in 2003, you know, talk about unnecessary wars that led to all the other wars and upheavals and ISIS and everything evil you can possibly imagine. But somebody who says that this particular dictator being out of power is a good thing and we should support a change, that to them is the equivalent of starting unnecessary wars. It's just it's bizarre. And when you consider for a second, what would that have been like with a Republican in office? What would have happened then? You know that there would have been far more of a military response, of a military action, and we'd be involved in probably four more wars at this point. So it's just the hypocrisy is of a magnitude that is immeasurable. It's just incredible to me that people can tell themselves that this is the truth and this is the way things are, when it's just so easy to dissect it and say, no, look, you're contradicting yourself. It's so simple. How do you not see this? And then to endorse somebody like Trump, who basically will completely flip-flop on anything and insult everybody and not stand for anything, it just, I almost feel sorry for the Republicans at this point. I almost do. But no, I just can't.
Or five wars, or six wars.
How many wars do you want? How many wars can you handle?
I don't know. Maybe two at a time, two by three, three at a time, three by two in a row. Uh-huh. I don't know how many we can do, technically speaking. But yeah, I was struck, I think, also by the authenticity of the Democratic convention. Also, the sound and the look, It appeared a lot more like the America I imagine and want to be a part of.
That is the America I'm proud of. That really is the America. I'm not saying I'm proud of the Democrats. I'm not saying I'm proud of Hillary. I'm proud of what it showed us, that window into the world. I saw a woman giving a speech, I think it was on opening day, and she was in a wheelchair. She was handicapped in some way. She gave a 3-minute speech about what she believed in, and afterwards, just hearing the cheers of that huge Coliseum, and she just stopped, and you could see this was such a moment in her life. Wasn't expecting that kind of response. Wasn't expecting to be celebrated like that. Probably never has been in her life.
Right.
And to see that is what it's about. You know, to tell people you matter, you know, we care about you and we look up to you. You know, that is something that you did not see once at the Republican convention. And we saw that countless times. Well, maybe not countless times, but a good number of times at the Democratic convention. And again, you know, this is me. It's not me sucking up to Democrats. It's just me saying this is so much better. You know, and yeah, we can definitely get better than that. But recognize that, folks. Recognize that there is a difference, and please, you know, don't let differences of opinion of what you want at this particular point sway you from preventing something really horrible from happening.
Yeah. Indeed, no, yeah.
I like the I mean, it's basically this, you know, it's basically politics.
Okay.
I don't have anything else.
That's allowed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, people seem to say, oh, yeah, what else you got? You know, let's talk about something else. You want to talk about sports? Yeah, we can talk about sports. The Champions League has already started. Yeah.
Well,
We're not ready yet. Our team is Sevilla, right, from Spain.
Right.
They won the Europa League.
Yep.
All right. And that happened in May.
Right.
And the winner of the Europa League goes to the Champions League the next year. And the next year started the month afterwards in June, believe it or not. Yeah, they've already been playing games. But we don't enter it until the group stage, and that's not till September. So that's your update on sports.
Got it.
But no, getting back to Trump, though, this week was a rough week for him because this was the week that, at the DNC, as another example of diversity, you had this Muslim American family, husband and wife, standing up there stage.
The cons,
yeah.
Yeah.
Saying that their son gave his life for this country back in 2004, the year after George W. Bush started his adventurism. And then having them be insulted by Trump, you know, accusing the wife of being a slave to the husband. Just ridiculous, ignorant things to say. And the backlash has been fierce. The backlash has been unrelenting from Republicans and Democrats. And I especially respect Republicans who can stand up to this, because it just means you're not towing the party line. It means that you're standing up for what's right over what you're told you have to stand up for. And for him to insult these people and to question them when their son died in service for this country, it's just, it's almost unbelievable. But when you think about who you're dealing with, it's not unbelievable at all. I just think it would be amazing. It would be a true American moment if the final nail in the coffin, the downfall was begun by a Muslim couple, by a Muslim family against Donald Trump. And that's what did him in.
That's fitting. No, I like that.
Because that is what America should be, you know, where the truth, justice, that wins out over whatever this is that he represents.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just updating my my phone here because I'm looking at tweets. I follow Donald Trump on Twitter, and I get updates. Yeah, here's one he just sent today. President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States! Exclamation point. You know, even if you disagree with everything Obama does, to say that is just, you're not paying attention. He's obviously not going to go down in history as the worst president in the United States. He might go down as somebody who does things you really don't like, but the guy can command an audience. He knows what he's talking about. He knows, for instance, that Ukraine was invaded by Russia only 2 years ago. You know, part of it, not the whole country.
Yeah.
Donald Trump apparently didn't even know that, because he was saying that Russia's not going to go into Ukraine. Russia already is in Ukraine, you idiot. Aren't you paying any attention? How do you not know that? How is it that we here at WUSB know more about foreign affairs than you, who's running for president of the damn United States? How do you not know that? How does nobody tell you? And then he tries to backtrack, saying, well, what I meant was that... I don't know how he tried to justify it. It was pretty laughable, though.
Yeah, insanely laughable. No, it's this stuff matters, and it's, I think it lends to that suspicion that this isn't, this presidency, he is just another title, is window dressing for a really insane platform that we don't really even know the entirety of, like, its breadth and direction. And I don't know. It's just, we're still, we're going to be going through it for years after if it really does happen, I think, just trying to figure out what happened.
Well, you know,
I mean, if you are the leader and you don't have a really specific initiative in mm-hmm. those areas, it's really, really difficult for other people to get behind that and for that to be a coalition. So you end up having a whole lot of people standing around, like, sort of witnessing what appears to be control or an initiative or a platform. And we don't know going into it what it'll be, and we certainly won't know while it's going on what the initiative is until it's already occurred, and we're just picking up the pieces and trying to figure out who was affected and all that. And
how did we get here?
And I think it being retro, looking at it in hindsight and so on, we're not going to be feeling altogether powerful if we let it get to that.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly this is a time to discuss the prospect, what we're facing as a people, as humans. Is this the direction of the overwhelming majority other humans you interact with, and
I still have yet to meet. I still yet to meet a single Trump supporter, and I've asked other people too.
Yeah.
A lot of other people have said this, you know, and some people have conservative parents and relatives, and even they aren't supporting Donald Trump. So who are these people? They exist. I'm not saying they don't exist, but wow, we don't know who they are. They're out there someplace. And that's kind of scary.
We've asked around. Yeah. We've asked at the station here. We're sometimes a little bit nervous. We don't want to confront people at the station because it is a wonderful.
At the station? You think there's people at the station here that support Trump?
Really? Well, we don't know there aren't. Okay. So that's important.
I'd be willing to
be very clear.
I don't know. I mean, who would you think?
I don't know. I can't think of anyone personally that I know.
The reggae guys, maybe?
No, I don't think they're into it.
The rap guys?
No.
Well, the rap
maybe
girls?
Maybe one or two. No.
Who could support Trump? There's got to be somebody because there's so many people out there.
Right.
There has to be somebody around. But even, you know, if there is, that's such a small amount of people in our circle. There are all these other people out there that we don't know anything about. It's like, you know, some kind of invasion of the body snatchers, and we don't even see it coming, but they're out there someplace. And it's spooky. It's scary. It's unsettling. Almost as unsettling as following this Twitter account, because what happened, you know, these people are just so not smart. I'm trying to think of a nice way to say that. There is no nice way to say that. I'm sorry. Because Donald Trump retweeted something his own son said. Eric Trump. I'm not following Eric Trump, but he retweeted this. So I get to you know, peek into his mind. And this is the kind of thing that Eric Trump is saying. Truly horrible. Canine handler says nasty encounter with Hillary led him to never vote for her. What the hell does that mean? Because Hillary had a fight with some guy handling a dog, he's never going to vote for. Okay, you know, that probably happened on the way over here today with us. You know, somebody's never going to vote for us because, you know, we flipped them off in traffic. And we didn't do that, but it could have happened. But it's like, this is really an issue. This is something that we need to focus attention on. How about, you know, what's different about policies, about the world, about, you know.
Yeah, that sounds like somebody has an agenda, like axe to grind kind of
situation. It's just stupid. It's just the kind of thing that you see all the time. Just these all caps,
unless
badly spelled. Will somebody tell Donald Trump there is no E in judgment in the United States? There is overseas, but I'm sure that's not what you're trying to do intentionally.
Unless
when you spell judgment, leave out the damn E, the first one, not the second one.
Unless Hillary actually bit your dog, I don't think it's really news. I don't see that as. I mean, you probably already were not going to ever vote for Hillary if you know, that kind of interaction is somehow evidence of why you're validated and not not making that choice when it comes down to voting, which is coming up. And if you know people who aren't registered to vote, now's a good time to you know, get them involved in the process and share with them the wonder and the mystery of political engagement that is available for all of us as citizens. Emmanuel, you have a comment.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear what I know people are going to say. I don't want to hear it. You're going to say that, oh, because of the Electoral College, because we're here in New York, it doesn't make a difference. New York's going to go for Clinton no matter what, so my vote doesn't count. All right, that's nonsense, utter nonsense. I want to use a stronger word, but I can't. Yeah, okay, because of the screwed-up system we have, New York will go for Clinton. All right, fine. But popular vote still matters, and I think that Trump needs to be beaten by at least a 2-1 margin for us to have any semblance of dignity in the rest of the world. Because if this is a close election, what does that say about us? The fact that he is a candidate at all, let alone the leading candidate for the Republican Party, that speaks volumes. But, you know, vote so that the guy is soundly thrashed, so that we never face this kind of crisis again. That needs to be said, and every voice matters in that arena. Absolutely. So your vote does count. And yeah, I hear people saying, yeah, vote for somebody, a third party candidate. I would agree with that. In this particular case, I think the stakes are just too high. And there is no chance on earth of them winning in the first place, unfortunately. That's got to change. I know it's not going to change this election cycle. So let's at least send a message and kick this guy's ass. Respectfully.
Soundly.
Uh-huh.
Into smithereens.
With that, I'd like to introduce a new feature, but a challenge, all right?
Everyone. It's a challenge. Are you ready for the challenge?
Well, it's not a challenge for them. It's a challenge for you.
Oh, I'm being challenged? Yeah, you're challenging me?
Yes, I'm challenging you.
Right now?
And you're not doing a very good job meeting the challenge by questioning the challenge.
I say, what is this challenge?
I would have gotten to that by now without all this. All right.
Then please, sir, out with your challenge.
Trying before the show ends to
no.
do this.
No.
Okay. We have, do we have a stopwatch of any sort? Is there a timer in this damn place? We used to have a timer. You just hit the button and it would start counting.
Yes.
No, you're pointing to an analog clock
on
the
wall.
It's
got a second hand, though, and it's going to be at the halfway, right?
Yeah. You know what?
Three, two,
one. I got a phone.
Go, now.
No, I've got a phone, and I've got, somewhere on this phone, I've got a timer app.
I just started keeping time, and you reject that
because
I have
to,
you have an app.
Yeah, because I have to look at you to tell me what the time is. And that's not the way I want to do it. I want to have something impartial.
Well, we will take phone calls later. 631-632-6901. Call us in 3 minutes.
Date and time, I guess, is where that would show up.
If you're on campus, that's 269-01.
No, that's not right.
If you're overseas, use the plus key on your phone. +1-631-632-6901. Call us here at Off the Wall. It's a weekly talk show.
Why is it so hard to start a timer on my phone?
Variety of different issues and pretty open format. Sometimes we travel and we record things. We tell stories from interesting places around the world. And then we come back here and tell stories. We have one call. Other people can call too. We have the capability of maintaining multiple calls. If we don't get to you, call back.
I have a stocks button on my phone, which I've never used. Why do I have a stocks button and I don't have a timer button? The stopwatch, that's what I'm looking for.
I do see that call, so we will get to that, but we actually have to change the configuration.
If you want to
so
go into delay while I'm trying to figure out how my
FCC
phone works.
FCC compliant.
That's
okay,
fine
actually,
with
we'll
me.
Go into delay now since someone is...
WUU
calling
SB 90.1 FM in
and we should be in delay. I should have played this.
Did we have 7 seconds of silence again?
Yeah, I'm so sorry for the 7 seconds of silence, everyone. This is WUSB Stony Brook and we have a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, that's crazy. I'm calling in because you guys were talking about not knowing any Trump supporters. I am not a Trump supporter.
Oh, thank God.
Hope so.
Well, no, that would have been good. That we have talked
no,
to him.
No, I was really, really, really nervous.
It was almost a first contact situation. That would have been cool.
Yeah, Emmanuel says it felt like we were making contact with aliens. So, okay, what then have you to say about Trump supporters and your interaction with this species?
Right. So I had a conversation with a small business owner who I respect and find to be a very intelligent person, and he informed me to my shock that he's supporting Trump, and through the conversation it basically came out that he is just really afraid of a lot of liberal agendas, more or less. He's afraid of the minimum wage being increased to $15. Because it would put him out of business. And when I pressed him on how horrible of a person Donald Trump was, he mainly responded by saying that he could deal with that for now because he thinks as a country we've advanced enough that the hate will be sort of outweighed by the majority, but we can't give in to these liberal agendas.
It sounds like a lot of fear and hate that he's... He's been fed.
Well, he's afraid of too much hope. There's been too much hope and too much change. And I, Well, it would take a lot for me to understand that, but I hear that, and I realize that's a reality for some people. So I'm sorry for you. That's such a crazy letdown in your life, having known someone and respected them more or less on an interpersonal or a business level. That must have been, what was that like for you, knowing that maybe you'll go back and work with them again, buy something from them again if it's a business kind of situation? How was that for you? How do you feel about that, given that you aren't supporting Trump?
There were, I think the first thing was, okay, wow, maybe I'm not as good of a judge of character as I thought I was.
Uh-huh.
And the second was sort of the realization that Trump supporters are sort of, they're inserted amongst us quietly, and I think most of them are holding all of these sort of really hateful thoughts inside of them. They're not quite willing to admit they have them themselves, but they're there, and they sort of just operate amongst us on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no, I get that. It is that we probably are closer to Trump supporters than we think,
this
than we
is
even realize.
Exactly what people say about ISIS. They've been radicalized by Trump, and they're sleeper agents.
Yes, yes. They could be just like sleeper agents in terrorist cells, Emmanuel. I hear that.
Thank you.
Well, caller, where are you calling from, if you don't mind me asking?
On the road right now. I live in Mineola, but I'm working out in Suffolk County today.
Okay. Oh, good for you. Well, get home safely, and thanks a lot for calling us from Mineola, and while you're out there on the road. So get home safely. Thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
Wow.
Great. That was cool. I really appreciate that call.
I found the timer on my phone, as you can see.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it took me a little bit of time. I'm going to hit the...
I still feel bad about the 7 seconds. I really do.
90.1.
Well, I can never get those 7 seconds back, but do you want to spend another 7 seconds talking? What are you doing?
I'm trying to play the card again.
You're playing over us. We can't hear it because you're playing live.
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Well, because I wanted to play that, and I've done it twice.
All you did was play something over us while we were talking.
Totally interrupted us.
That we couldn't even hear.
So what did you fix on your phone? Please, please show us how well
Talk
your
about
phone
a
works.
Scorched earth policy.
Tell us how your phone works.
Okay, before we run out of time.
We have another call.
Yeah, well, can I do this, please?
All right, caller, keep calling.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. I hit the start button. Listen, I think Donald Trump is a good guy because let me talk. He says things that other people are afraid to say. He's got the guts, and it takes a lot of guts to stand up on the international stage and say things that you know you're going to be attacked for, things that other people simply don't have the guts to speak out loud. If you look at the political process, you look at Hillary Clinton, you look at all the other candidates that he defeated in the Republican field, they all basically toe the line. They all say the acceptable things. He's the only one with the guts to say something that might be unpopular, but, it could be a lot closer to the truth. He's the guy that you recognize from Thanksgiving dinner that will say things that everybody will try and sweep under the carpet, but he's got the guts to actually step forward and say it. No, I mean, look. I respect honesty. I respect somebody who stands up to criticism, stands up to a mob.
We have two calls now.
No, it stands up to a mob and somebody who actually is able to keep... Okay, I'm repeating myself.
Did you get it out?
All
right,
Hold on. I got 1 minute 16.9 seconds. All right, so now you're...
We now have a call
your
on
challenge,
the other line.
Kyle,
yes?
Don't chicken out of this. Your challenge, when you tell me to go... is to speak glowingly of Trump for as long as you possibly can before you start repeating yourself or are unable to breathe. So are you ready? Or do you just want
to
quit now? That's what I got. I got
I'd
1
like
minute
to
16 seconds.
I
16.9. You can't even do it for 1 second?
Well, he does bring...
Hold on. Are you ready to go? Because I'll start the clock.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Okay, well, I mean, first of all, basically the entire thing is about... our willingness to accept what the Democrats and the corrupt liars in the Democratic Party, what they have done to this country and how we're losing big time in huge, enormous, tremendous ways that basically are bringing down everything that humanity has created from the Bible and dinosaurs.
Just stop. That's sad. You made 33 seconds. You didn't even say Trump's name once, okay? You couldn't even bring yourself to mention his name. All you did was basically attack Democrats, which is an easy thing to do.
Yeah,
anyone can do that.
The Democrats,
but you didn't say anything pro-Trump.
And all his vitriol. Well, I told you I didn't want to do it. I couldn't. Keep a straight face. Our calls are gone now.
Yeah, well,
631-632-6901. If you want to talk about something that is worthwhile and not blather about glowing remarks about Trump. God, what a waste.
One more positive thing to say.
Hello,
about
you're
Trump.
On the air.
I found my timer.
Hi, caller. Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from Ronkonkoma.
Oh, well, what a great place. Please, what was your comment?
I just want to comment on, I just got back from Florida, and that's where all the Trump supporters are. I saw street corners. I saw them waving signs, and they were just all over the place. And my other comment is that they were always all over the place, because I work with people that say things to me like, he's great because he speaks his mind. And it's just like, what? I speak my mind. Why don't you vote for me? I just don't get it. Like, that's what the appeal is, or that's what their excuse is for voting for him, because he speaks his mind. He's a lunatic. I'm sorry, but that's how I feel.
No, thank you. Thank you for that insight, and we'll get to the next call. Hello, you are on WSB.
Hi, I just wanted to respond to the Trump versus Clinton versus Bernie shenanigans happening.
Yeah, quickly.
As far as I'm concerned, our options are a neo-imperialist versus a fascist, which is really cut off our hand or cut off our leg.
Okay, thank you for that.
Wait, let him talk.
You have more to say. Next caller, WSB, you're on the air.
I just wanted to say, I was voting for Trump, but he's losing my vote. He's losing my vote.
Really? So you were a Trump supporter and now you're switching?
I just don't like the way he's acting.
What was the tipping point for you?
The tipping point is all his tweets, and he doesn't move on. He just constantly...
So, like, he's kind of got the reins, but he's not really running it. He's not good in the saddle now that he's the nominee, as far as you're concerned.
Start acting like a president. Can we start acting like a president?
Right. Well, okay. All right. No,
that's a question.
I mean, he had my vote. He had a lot of people that I know's vote, but he's losing it. He's losing my vote.
All right. Hey, where are you calling from?
Center Reach. Rob from Center Reach.
Cool. All right. Thanks for your call.
Trump supporters were in Center Reach. Maybe they're gone too. But ask yourself. Well, we're out of time. Look at the time.
I was going fast.
Well, we have to. Yeah, but you cut the other guy off. I think he had more to say.
Maybe call back.
We have to go back live. Can you get us back live?
I can go back live. Quickly.
All right, let's go back live without stepping on ourselves. All right, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah, that was not bad at all, because I'm running things. No, I'm going to compliment myself. I'm going to pat myself on the back. We had one more caller. We could have fit that caller in, maybe, kind of, sort of, but we have music and so on.
Yeah,
I
love
hearing from everyone. Thanks for those calls.
So I want to go out with a song from the 60s, mid-60s, only because it applies so much today. And, you know, it's been rewritten a couple of times, but I think the original works just as well with all the hate and prejudice that's being spread around by one of the leading candidates. And it's something that I hope people heed and listen to. And we'll be back again next week. You can write to us, otw@2600.com, with your thoughts and ideas. And we'll be talking about this topic in the future.
We will. And great choice for a song. Please, everybody, support community radio.
The Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war. What's that gun you're toting?
and even the Jordan River has bodies floating, but you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Yeah, my blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Think of all the hate there is in Red China, then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace and tell me over and over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. No, no, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
This is Finn's Revolution right here on WUSB. Stony Brook. Tonight, Barbara Endes of Girls on Grass will be joining us to talk about their new release. And then Russ Green and Terry Muse, a couple of great local poets, talk about their benefit for anti-women's violence this Sunday. Stay tuned. Bit of Girls on Grass. We're going to be talking to Barbara from this band in just a few minutes.
I guess I had to be one of the guys. I didn't know anyone like me. To run
Yeah, and that that was one of the guys from the new album from Girls on Grass, right here on WUSB Stony Brook. And we played a little of that, a little from that record last week. And we're very, very, very lucky right now to have singer-songwriter Barbara Endes with us right now on the phone. Hi, Barbara. Welcome to Finn's Revolution on WUSB Stony Brook.
Hey, Finn. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. The record, which I think came out, like, what, last December?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, is like a great, great, great record. It's like got all the qualities of a million bands that I love, and plus you bring all your own thing to it. It's just like, it's a great sound.
Well, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and tell us a little, give us a little background on how the band got going and how all of this started.
Okay, sure. I was playing in a classic country band a few years ago. I started with a friend of mine, and Nancy, our drummer, was playing in several bands, actually, but she plays with Spike Priggins' band.